This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. President Joe Biden, facing Republican obstructionism over most, if not all, of his legislative agenda, has decided to offer a compromise at the get-go on his infrastructure proposal. Initially billed at $2.25 trillion, the president offered a slimmed-down package to the tune of $1.7 trillion. Unfazed, Republicans made a laughably small counteroffer of $568 billion. Climate activists, who had already claimed the initial package didn't go far enough, are stunned that the president would try to compromise with a party seemingly uninterested in negotiation. My guest is John Paul Mejia, climate activist and educator. He's an organizer and spokesperson at the Sunrise Movement. Welcome to the program, John Paul.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we even get into the compromise that Biden offered, how inadequate has the original proposal been to the tune of $2.25 trillion? It sounds like a huge amount of money, but of course, the country's infrastructure is woefully behind the times, and we are woefully behind many countries in terms of building new energy, renewable energy infrastructure.
You're absolutely right. The infrastructure plan that was proposed is not only lackluster, but it fails to recognize the severity of crises that we're facing right now. What we truly need is an infrastructure plan of $10 trillion over the next decade. That's $1 trillion of investments per year. And why do we need that? Well, right now we find ourselves in the midst of spiraling crises, a pandemic, the economic downfall from it, inducing massive unemployment numbers, and on top of it all, a crisis of historic proportions that humans have never fought before, the climate crisis. A bold infrastructure plan could make sure that we not only employ our people in good jobs that pay well, that are unionized, but also jobs that carry us forward into a 21st century that is just and safe for all of us to live in. And President Biden's initial plan, nonetheless, to say this watered down version, does not meet that scope or scale.
Now, infrastructure updates would not only increase jobs and, you know, be a source of job creation, it could also, of course, do what's really needed, which is prepare the country for all sorts of issues when we're talking about adaptation to climate change, when we're talking about the need for better, even things like better education. There's sort of been arguments about what the definition of infrastructure and what falls within the definition of infrastructure, right? So is there a sense that you have of how popular infrastructure updating or building is among constituents, among Americans at large, whether they're Republicans or Democrats?
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's incredibly popular, the need for infrastructure right now. The voter that doesn't want clean air, clean water, good roads, or a livable future, good health, or good education doesn't exist. There is no such thing as compromising with voters who don't want that. The real compromise on the table is whether we bargain or make concessions to the industries like the fossil fuel industry that has bought off the Republican Party, making concessions to them. Infrastructure is incredibly popular right now at a time that it's needed the most, not only because we need jobs, but because for far too long we have left power in the hands of a few decision makers paid off by large industries that haven't had the will or the best interest of the American people at heart. At this moment in time, when we really have to come to terms with the crises that we face, we have the opportunity to build our country to be more resilient, both physically in our physical infrastructure, but also when it comes to social factors like education and healthcare. That counts as infrastructure too. And we know that there's loads of low carbon work, from caring for our elders to teaching kids in preschool, that needs to be done.
So the Democrats have a tenuous hold on the Senate, slightly stronger hold on the House. Is the only reason that Biden is offering a compromise to Republicans because not all members of his own party are lining up to support an infrastructure bill? Or is it that he simply wants the Republicans on board? I imagine that senators like Joe Manchin are probably sidling closer to Republicans, unfortunately.
Well, it's quite shocking because Joe Manchin himself even called for a $4 trillion infrastructure plan in the past. So what we're seeing right now is just a complete abdication of the responsibilities of this administration to lead as boldly as it promised on the campaign trail. What we truly need is to hold on to this $10 trillion figure and not undergo all of this performative bargaining with a party that is not only tied to serving corporations and the wealthy above its constituents, but in order to actually alleviate the crises that we face. We know that the American Jobs Plan and the American Families Plan and the $1,400 checks that went out were incredibly popular. Nearly 70% of the country was on board with it. Yet no one member of the Senate on the Republican side voted in favor of it.
So some even went back to their home constituencies and boasted about the benefits in that, you know, on a bill that they had voted against.
Absolutely. That's what Mitch McConnell is doing right now. But what we have to, and speaking of Mitch McConnell, what we have to keep in mind is that the Republican Party, as it has operated in the past 10 years, is trying to do the same thing again. Mitch McConnell has said that his priority in this administration is, or in this tenure, excuse me, is to block anything that this administration tries to fulfill, even if it's good for Americans across party differences. And we have to believe him and hold him to that promise and realize that if the Republican Party, if all it's going to do is obstruct progress, then we have to start playing with hardball tactics to deliver the much needed relief and demands that the American people are asking for.
You brought up this term performative bargaining earlier, which I just thought was great. And it seems to unfortunately describe what senators like Joe Manchin are enjoying, you know, this position, this self-declared newfound position of the agenda setter, given the slim majority that the Democrats have. And the Republicans tend to be so lockstep and unified when they hold on to power with a very slim majority. But the Republicans seem to have perfected the art of obstructionism, especially going back to the Obama presidency, right? When Obama became president, they made it very clear that even plans that they had supported in the past would be plans that they would obstruct and stand against simply because they didn't want President Obama and the Democrats to have any kind of political or legislative win. And it seems that they're basically using that same playbook now. And if that is the case, Joe Biden, who we are told is actually, you know, a savvy negotiator, he's a longtime veteran of Washington, D.C., he understands the politics. Can you make sense of what he's doing? Is he offering the Republicans a compromise proposal, knowing that they're going to offer something terrible in return so that he can simply say, hey, I made them an offer and they turned it down. I'm going to barrel through anyway. I mean, can you make sense of it?
I think it's really hard to do so, at least when we were talking about sending out those checks. We know that Joe Biden met with leaders of the GOP and, you know, denied the proposal that they gave him to shrink down the package. And ideally, that's what we should see in this case. And not only that, because that's really even less than the floor, because the infrastructure in and of itself should be way higher than what was initially proposed. But the Biden administration, if it touts itself as super savvy and as really fulfilling an FDR style presidency, has to at least learn from the mistakes from the Obama administration when the progress that could have been done to restructure our economy to a more just and fair one after the 2008 crash was not fulfilled. It was a promise that was not fulfilled. And here we are in the same mess with a pandemic and another crisis of historic proportions, the climate crisis looming over our heads. We can't afford to make the same mistakes again. And that's what movements like ours are pushing for. Right now, we're speaking at a time when from the Gulf South to California, loads of members in our movements, fierce leaders of courage, are trekking 400 miles to advocate for a civilian climate corps, a CCC that can put young people to work in solving the climate crisis. And right now we have energized populations from indigenous organizers to young people, to people of color, to unions, proposing into society the ideas of how to solve our problems. That's who Joe Biden needs to be speaking to, not to people who are bought off by special interests. The real contracts that need to be made, the real compromises and negotiations that have to be made, lie with the American majority that elected him, not those who wish to obstruct progress and keep people starving.
Now, your organization, John Paul, the Sunrise Movement, has been one of the leading advocates of the Green New Deal, a resolution that was introduced by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the House and Ed Markey in the Senate. I believe that was reintroduced recently. What would an infrastructure bill that your organization had deep influence over look like? I mean, couldn't this have been the embodiment of the Green New Deal resolution's goal? And I'm assuming it far fell short.
It absolutely could have been, and it absolutely isn't. Infrastructure is sort of what was thrown into the playing field for us to lead in the most ambitious way possible. We can change the definition of infrastructure and make it appropriate for the scale of crisis that we face. We could have led in a clean energy revolution that this infrastructure plan could have articulated to really get us on track in these next 10 years or less to achieve carbon neutrality. We could have employed loads of people in doing that. We could have invested in healthcare. We could have invested in education. We could have started the first pillar of the Green New Deal through this infrastructure proposal. But that's not what it necessarily looks like. Does that mean we're giving up? No, the alternative is defeat, and defeat is too costly for all of our lives. I'm from Miami. I know we still need an infrastructure package that's bold because I'm not ready to give up on the people and places I love. So Sunrise is continuing to push for the vision of a Green New Deal, not only in this infrastructure package, but going forward with several pieces of key legislation that must be passed in order to realize that vision.
Biden has a mandate. I mean, even if the hold on the Democratic hold on the Senate is barely there and the House is small, if you look at the number of votes, then the popular vote total that Biden himself won, the popular vote total that Democratic senators and House representatives won, there is a popular mandate for this vision that the Democratic Party's platform encompasses. And yet, unfortunately, the party is often either doing battle with just a handful of its own members or trying to bend over backwards to appease Republicans who really are becoming the embodiment of the minority party. So through organizations like Sunrise Movement, what are ways in which people can pressure the Democratic Party to realize this bold vision and say, you have a mandate, you need to use it? That time is running out because midterms in 2022 could change the entire political equation.
Absolutely. For far too long, movements like ours, really speaking that popular mandate into truth, were told by all of these DC executives and politicos that our ideas were a political suicide. But what we realized from the 2020 elections was that candidates who campaigned boldly on Medicare for All, on a Green New Deal, on student debt cancellation, were speaking to the needs of regular people, people who should be deciding what solutions are pursued in this country. And so our mission is not necessarily to operate solely as the left flank of the Democratic Party. That's not where our power is rooted. Our power is rooted on the ability to spark movements, to create large swaths of people power that can not only change public opinion, but actually start inspiring a lot of the ideas that we want pursued as solutions in the present. And so what folks can do, Sunrise is a movement of young people. Join a hub near you. You can go on our website at sunrisemovement.org and join our movement. And you can also work with the different movements that we work with as well. There's loads to be activated right now in this time of spiraling crisis, and giving up is just not an option. So muster that strength and courage that you have to fight for a better future and join the movement.
Give out a website where people can find out about those local hubs and join in?
Absolutely. You can find us at www.sunrisemovement.org.
That's sunrisemovement.org, and we'll post a link to that from our website. John Paul, thank you so much for joining us and good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been John Paul Mejia. He is a climate activist and educator, organizer, and spokesperson at Sunrise Movement. We've been discussing Joe Biden's infrastructure proposal and the compromises that he's offering Republicans. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter. You can also find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.